folks, just as we turn now to, say, Jeff, as he said, read the same passage as last week, where last week we looked at verses 1 and 2 of Colossians 1. Johnny, again, if I could have my laptop, that would be super. Brilliant, brilliant. So the first couple of verses, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers, sisters, in Christ at Colossae, and then just grace and peace to you from God our Father. Being in Christ, and then being in Colossae. We thought last week about Colossae was a little town that had kind of just fallen in its significance. Again, Steve Brady in his little commentary just says it's a fairly insignificant place at the time. Used to be a thriving town, but just had fallen away, and two other churches very close by. They were the towns that were blossoming, and Colossae had fallen away. But for some reason, Paul is writing a letter to them, and we have it today. And that idea then, where he says in verse 2, grace and peace to you from God our Father. He wants them to grow. He wants them to know the Lord and the blessing of the Lord. And he wants them then to bloom where they're planted. You're in Christ and you're in. Yes, people are saying it's an insignificant town and it doesn't really matter. But I want you to be there and know God's grace and peace and live for me in that place. And again, just the challenge for you and I. Where is our Colossae? Where God has placed us, that we should again know his hand on us and that we should witness for him there. But the rest of the passage goes on here, folks, and it's beautiful. Verses 3 through to 14, birth and growth. You've come to know me and you're now in Christ. And then just this prayer that Paul prays. So let's just, even if you had the passage in front of you there, it would be really helpful just on your lap, because we're just going to step through the verses. Birth and growth. Paul says in verse 3, I always, or we always, because he's saying he and Timothy, always thank God when we pray for you. Paul had actually, well, first of all, Paul's writing from a prison cell, either in Ephesus or in Rome. And so he's writing from difficult conditions. But he says, every time we think about you, and Paul never actually visited Colossae. It was Epaphras who had come to faith in Jesus through Paul. He then took the gospel to Colossae. And he says, but every time I hear about you, we hear about you, we rejoice for the birth that you have known spiritually. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3 says this, in his great mercy he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So Paul says in verse 3, we always thank God for you. Whenever we hear about you, our hearts just bounce for all that God is doing in you. Verses 4 through to the first part of verse 6, Paul said, let's actually just read it again, for it'll be helpful. Because we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up in you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. And all over this world, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing. Paul says, you have come to recognize the truth of God. Paul says, I have recognized, we have heard of your faith in Jesus Christ. So we have heard of what God is doing in you. But then the people themselves, not just Paul, but the people, the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. Do you see that? Paul recognized what God was doing in them, but actually they themselves recognized God's truth as it has come to them. And not only, folks, did they recognize it, but they received it. Look at the second half of verse 6 through to verse 8. and what God is then doing among them. From the second half of verse 6, all over the world this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf and who has told you of your, or has told us of your love in the Spirit. You see what's happening here, folks? Just as it has been doing among you. It wasn't just that they recognized the truth, but it was so much more, because it was planted deep within them in Christ, and then it was changing them from the inside out. Just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace and its truth. Let me just put it like this. The Christian life is not just about making a decision. It's about becoming a disciple. When Jesus says, come follow me, there are implications on our lives. It's not just that you stay the same. It's not just that, oh, tick the box, we're all good. It's about the start of a journey. It's not a full stop. It's a movement. Faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead, says James in James chapter 2, verse 17. Not only have you just recognized the truth, but that you've received it, and it's making a difference in your life. So not just birth, folks, but growth. Growing, knowing, showing. Or maybe it actually should start knowing, then growing, and then showing. If we are in a place where our Christian life is just, I agree with the facts, then we've missed it. It's about transformation. And as we follow Jesus, Jesus says, follow me, come let me make you fishers of men. The difference is that our lives change because we walk with Jesus as he works in us and we become more like him. Verse 9, just Paul begins to pray for them. And in verse 9, for this reason, and since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. He prays that they may have revelation. Revelation. That they would understand the beliefs. That they would know. Let me say, actually, this is echoing Paul's prayers in Ephesians chapter 1 and in Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul prays for the church in Ephesus. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power to us who believe. That power is like the working of a mighty strength. And here in Ephesians chapter 3, this prayer is mighty. But again, very similar to the prayer here in Colossians. Paul says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that being rooted and established in love, you may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep, thank you, Dave, for the choice, is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. So knowing it, fill then with the measure of all the fullness of God. Paul is praying that your revelation may just blow your mind. Steve Brady, this is fantastic, folks. And if you have note paper, write this down. He says, God does not just want us to be happy. Hang on. He wants us to be holy. He does not just want us to be satisfied, he wants us to be sanctified. So it's not just revelation and belief. God doesn't just want us to be happy, he wants us to be holy. He doesn't just want us to be satisfied, oh, happy days, everything's rosy. He wants us to be sanctified, to be made more like Jesus. But that our revelation, our beliefs, may change our behavior. That's the challenge in following Jesus. Verses 10 and 11, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power. Folks, is that evident in our walk with Jesus? Because he has given us so much. But we need to follow rightly to receive all that he has for us, that our beliefs may impact our behavior. Hebrews chapter 5, 12 through to 14, and then the little verse with the boys and girls in 1 Peter chapters 2 and 3, talk about moving on from the milk of the word to the meat of the word, that our diet may change because we are growing, because we're developing our spiritual muscles. And if you looked at little Willow, who was here with us last Sunday, if in a year and a half time, 2 years time, little Willow is still being held in arms, you would be deeply concerned. If any little infant. And it's the same spiritually. Are we growing up in the Lord? Verses 10 and 12, our behavior, our right living through the revelation that comes, the beliefs, the truth that God has given us. Verses 13 and 14 again. Folks, these verses are just stuffed full of so much encouragement. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I love these words. The redemption that we can know, that we have been brought from darkness to light, that we have been bought through the redeeming work of the Savior. Brought. He has rescued us from darkness, from the dominion of darkness, brought us into the kingdom of his Son. Folks, do you realize that has happened in you? Brought from darkness to light. That our hearts are changed from darkness to light as we have come to know him, as we are now in Christ. But not only has he brought us, how has he done that? Well, he has bought us, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I should have brought it today. I have a little CD at home. It's by this mighty band called Sling Your Hook. Fishers of Men. Okay, but it's a wee band that I played with years ago. And we recorded a CD. And then there was one day, Karen and I were down in Newcastle and went into a wee charity shop. I love rifling through charity shops. And they're in amongst all the CDs. And I thought, that's no use. And so I bought back for £1 that which I had made. But that's what redemption is, folks. And as Christ died on the cross, he paid the price for that which he had made. So we read those verses, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. But Christ has paid the price, redeemed us. Again, that word comes from a Hebrew word, tetelestai, which means it is finished. What did Jesus say on the cross? And it's a term from the marketplace where a transaction is being completed and the stamp is made, tetelestai, it is finished, paid in full. We have been brought from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of light through the one who has paid the price for us. Folks, these words are mighty. Read them whenever you get home again. Just go over them. Verse 3, Paul and Timothy says, we always thank God for you when we remember you because we've heard about all that God is doing in you. Verse 12 says, we're giving thanks to the Father for you, for all that God has been doing in you. You all know, obviously, that this is a literary inclusio. So it's a literary inclusio. Apparently it's a writing thing from that culture saying from the first verse 3 through to verse 12, there were no verses in those days, but everything in between, we're giving thanks to God for everything between verse 3 and verse 12. Your birth, that you've come to know Christ, and we rejoice, we recognize that you have received the truth. And for the development, the growth that's taking place in your lives, again, the revelation that you've come to believe, the right living, that your behavior is changing. And again, just as we're thanking God, we're thanking him for bringing us and for buying us. Everything in between, this literary inclusio, is a reason to be thankful. Everything in between is a reason to be thankful that the people have come to know the Lord Jesus, that the people are showing Lord Jesus and how they live, and that the people are growing both spiritually and as they share the good news with others. Everything in between is a reason to be thankful. Test your mettle here, and I hope I've got it. For Ballywillan, what is our little tagline? To know Christ, to love God, and lovingly make him known. To be in Christ. And we're in Colossae, where we seek to live for him, that we may know him, that we may show him, that we may grow in him. In these words, folks, what does the Lord say to you this morning? If the band would mind just coming up and joining us, we're going to sing a very appropriate song, thinking about growing. I'm looking out in the garden at the minute, and we're pruning roses, and the strawberries are growing. And you have to do a wee bit of work. You have to do a bit of pruning. You have to cut back so that more growth comes. Refiner's fire, purify my heart, Lord, that I may grow more like you, that you may cut away the rough edges and make me more like Jesus.